couple of weeks ago on the plane, and I like the aisle seat, and Joy likes the middle seat, so the window seat was an American gentleman who was very keen to talk about himself and about America, and I thought I might get some insight on the election. And he told me categorically that Obama is a communist and should never get in. And then he did tell me that he thought George Bush was the best president that had ever been, and that he lives 10 miles from Bush's ranch in Texas. So I thought perhaps his view was slightly distorted. And distortion is one of the things we're going to think about tonight, distorted view. As those who come here regularly know that we have a rhythm of three seasons and that the fun term has just ended. I'm sure you've just sad about that. But we continue to have fun in the outreach term. And next Sunday at 9 o'clock, at 10:30 and 6:30, Simon Coupland, the vicar, is going to be speaking about outreach and, as it were, just give a platform for what is going to happen in the next coming weeks and months. And so I asked him if I could speak tonight, knowing he wasn't going to be here, about the issue of spiritual warfare. Because our theme tonight, if my, is from the devil's point of view. And when I was preparing this, I found a letter from a friend of mine called Malcolm, many years ago now, and it was in another church, and he said to me, "I didn't come to church to learn about the devil, I came to learn about Jesus." Which seems like a very good thing to say, except the Bible itself suggests that we should be aware of the devil's works, the devil's tricks, the way the devil works. And so we don't do that very often here at St. Paul's. I think it's at least 6 months before we looked at this subject previously. So tonight we're going to do that. And the reason we want to do that, because he and our enemy, the devil, is our enemy, and he wants to stand against us and help us or prevent us from being effective as we seek to share the good news of Jesus with other people during this term. And I'm going to use music tonight by way of to kickstart this. And I'm going to... So what do you think about music? Again, Glyn, without knowing this, has mentioned the worship we have here. And tonight, as every time we gather together, we sing songs to God, don't we? We sung tonight to God. We're singing praise and worship to God. We're telling God what we think of him, how we'd like to serve him, how we love him. Some of us sing songs and think, these words are hard, and it's a big call for me to actually sing them. But we seek to sing them in faith or trust or hope. But there are some songs that have been written, and they're written from the perspective of God speaking to us, or God singing to us. And I want to play you just a three-minute track from a song of a friend called Joe King. Now, I'm being serious when I say his name is Joe King. He really is. And if I can ever locate him, I may see if I can invite him here. He comes and plays the piano, sings these wonderful songs that he writes. And he writes them from God's perspective. So the words will be on the screen. You can pretty much catch his words because they're very clear. But can we just play this track, Rick? Thank you. These are words from God to us.
Desert the sky, my love for you.
And you got the message. No matter what happens, God's going to be there. It may all have come to an end, but God will still be God. And I think about you, sometimes I find just hearing that, receiving that is very encouraging. So I need to just hear what God's got to say to us. But I'd like you to think about the next song that I want to listen, you to listen to, because this is written from the devil's perspective, from the devil's point of view. It's very unusual. And I'm going to get Andy to come and just explain some background to this song, because he knows a bit more about it than I do.
Hi, everyone. This song was given to us, given to Luke, actually, when he was at a home group in South Africa. It's by a rather obscure little South African band called The Arrows. Never heard of them before. And as Peter said, it's a song from the devil's perspective. But what's really powerful about it, and I've listened to the song a number of times, is that it's really clarified for me, you know, what Satan's all about. And you mustn't be fooled by the song. It's actually sung in a rather sweet little lady's voice in a sort of jazzy, nightclubby sort of theme. But if you listen to the words, it really brings into sharp focus a number of things. One is that Satan is really real, and he hates us individually. He hates us personally. And he will tailor-make a package for each and every one of us based on our own little weaknesses, our potential to sin. And as the song comes up, just really prayerfully consider what the package is that you've been dealt, because the words are really profound. And I'm excited that you're going to get the chance to hear it.
Thanks, Andy. It starts off, it's a bit of music, and then there's a voice in the background, which you probably won't hear, because it's meant to be like an announcer in the distance, but all the words will be on the screen. Okay, I've got to stand here, because the clicker's packed up tonight. Bless technology. So I'm sorry, you've got to look at me as well. Let's go. So you're Tony Leach playing this. Stop it, Rick. Sorry. I seem to have lost a set of words. I apologise for that, but I have to kick off where it... Would you start it again? Just go through that first bit. I did it all. The joys of technology. Could blame the devil, but I'm not going to. It's me. You get to hear the jazz bit again. First lot of words aren't on the screen. Sorry.
I'm from the start just to
when Andy first played it to me, I just thought, so much truth in those lies, or so much lies in that truth, that we need to hear this, we need to hear about this a bit more. So tonight I want to just tell you briefly four things you should know about the devil. And I'm going to go back to the song, pick some lines out, and we're going to go to the scriptures and look at what the scripture says. So the first thing tonight, I want to say to you that he is a liar. He is a liar. When I was a very young Christian, I started going to prayer meetings. It was a Pentecostal church. Everybody prayed out loud. They prayed out loudly and passionately. And I quickly cottoned on, although I had lots of things I didn't understand, I quickly cottoned on that they seemed to think, these people seemed to think, that the devil was the source of all problems. So I stood up and prayed, "Jesus, please save the devil." Because if you think about it, it seemed like a logical thing as a young Christian. You know, let's get the devil converted, it would be all right. And a few of the older people took me to one side and began to explain to me that wasn't an option. It didn't work like that because he's a liar and he can do nothing but lie. The song that I didn't have the words up before, it says this, "Been lying from the start just to make you play a part in my infinite rebellion against the Father God." And if you turn to the scripture, John 8:44, Jesus is speaking to some rebellious, angry Jewish leaders, corrupt Jewish leaders. And he said this to them, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." The devil is incapable of truth. He twists and distorts the truth. He sometimes quotes truth at us, half-truths, and then sucks us in to believing them. And we're caught up in the fact that he is a liar. And we need to name him as that tonight. So I want to do that publicly. Satan, you're a liar. Okay. Second thing, he is evil. For the very same reason that my friends in that first church I went to explained to me that it wasn't possible for the devil to be saved, it's because he is evil through and through. Scripture says, the song says, "I hate everything he is," referring to God. "I hate everything God is, and I'll make you hate him too. Make you hate him with your actions. It's so easy for me to do." And I met people on the last Alpha course who really hated God. They were atheists with a passion. They hated God. There was a venom, there was a strength, there was deep, obviously deep issues in their life, this particular person's life. But these words were true in that person's life. They had become to hate God, which of course is what the devil does. And scripture says this, in the prayer that we pray very often, the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." The words normally deliver us from evil. But the original language, the original Greek, says evil one. It's referring quite specifically and deliberately to the devil. And then Jesus praying his prayer of unity and blessing upon the coming church, he says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one." And then again in 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." So evil is his intrinsic nature, and he brings temptation to bring that about. And he controls much of the world order, or should it be the world disorder? And I looked up that last verse, "The whole world is under control of the evil one." That's quite a challenging statement, because elsewhere it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So who actually is in charge? What's going on here? And John Stott, who many of you heard about, a now very elderly Anglican vicar, in one of his commentaries, he says this, "The word control means people being in his grip." And then as he expanded it, he says, "People who are unconsciously asleep." I thought that was very powerful. Unconsciously asleep, been sedated, been put into a dream world by Satan. Just to miss out what's going on, just to lose the reality of truth. And he is evil, and his work and what he wants to do is that evilness in this world. Okay, third thing, which you know about the devil, he is a deceiver. The words of the song were, "Appealing to your human way of being, and I use it all against you just to keep your eyes from seeing." Revelation 12:9 says this, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, the deceiver. For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As someone said, Satan is his name and deception is his game. And it's a deadly game at that. So I say to you, if you ever think about the devil, have an image of the devil, and sometimes through television and advertising and films, he appears to be manifest in some way. Forget the image of horns and horrible faces and tails and pitchforks and all of that. But more likely, he would appear as the good-looking, smooth-talking, tuxedo-dressed James Bond. Attractive. But in the back pocket, he's got a Walther PPK and he's licensed to kill. That's a better way of looking at the devil. Somebody who's actually smooth-talking, but the reality is there's real pain and danger. So he blinds the spiritual eyesight of people who then can't see the reality of Jesus. Perhaps you've met somebody like that, someone you've shared the gospel with. They're a good person. Their hearts seem to be open to God. They want to learn more, but somewhere there's this barrier. They just can't get past it. And sometimes you realize that there's been a blindness put in their minds. They can't take that step. They can't see that bit further. They can't cross over that line. Perhaps that's even you tonight. Well, the blindness can be lifted because Jesus is more powerful than the devil. And then, fourthly, finally, he is a robber. And I like this line from the song, "I make you think you've got spirituality, but it's really just emotional alchemy." We live in a very spiritual world. While I was on holiday in Portugal, I drove to meet a friend I'd not seen for 23 years. I was 23 years and further back, we wrote a book together called Cults and the Occult Today, all about what's going on outside the church. And we edited a Christian magazine. But when I went to see him 23 years later, after a broken marriage, after a lot of sadness, a lot of issues in his life, recently remarried a delightful lady called Linda. But in their garden, in their expensive, rich, extravagant villa in the middle of Spain, was at least 9 Buddhas. And we're all into New Age. And I thought of the words of this song. This is emotional alchemy. It's not really spirituality. And Linda said to me, when I come back in my next life, and I was really, can you imagine me? I was choking it all back because I thought, I've not come here to have big debates. We'll have a second visit for that. But this is restoring a friendship after 23 years. And so I was choking it back. She did ask me what star sign I was. And I did say, well, it doesn't matter because the Pope moved a date in history. So all the star signs are one out. Hope you knew that. All the star signs are one out. So it's wrong anyway. And she didn't rise to that one, which was probably quite good. But this is what the devil can do. Then he blinds minds. He gives people the idea they've got spirituality, but in fact he's robbed them of the truth. The Bible says the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Story of the parable of the sower. Seeds began to grow up, but then it was snatched away. The evil one comes. And in Genesis, right at the beginning of the story of creation and mankind, this is what the devil said to Eve. Did God really say, to Adam and Eve rather, did God really say you must not eat of the fruit? You won't die. Eat it and you'll be like God. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He is a robber. Because, of course, that wasn't what happened. They did eat. Death did come. And they weren't like God. So, 4 things we need to know. Just to go back on that last point, because I've just read my notes and I have something to say, that he casts doubt upon the validity of what God has said. That's the devil always does. He'll make us question the truth of Scripture. And he's able to quote Scripture for his own purposes. If you read Luke 4, where Jesus is tempted face to face by the devil quotes Scripture at Jesus. And this is in the Bible, you know, throws it back at him. He can do that for his own purposes. And he seeks to rob people of the truth of all that Jesus freely wants to give us. And the sad thing is, we can be Christian, we can have got past, we can got out of the devil's clutches and belong to God now and be a follower of Jesus, but we can still not be living in full liberty and freedom. And the devil's still got a little hand somewhere robbing us. He's a robber. We need to be aware of that. A liar, he's evil, he's a deceiver, he's a robber. So in conclusion tonight, where do you and I, if we're Christians tonight, where do we stand? Where do we stand? The clue is on the screen. We stand because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of his resurrection from the dead. We now stand in God's love, and we now stand in God's grace. God's love, the agape, that sacrificial giving of Jesus on the cross, the agape of God, for God so loved the world. And grace, giving us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve what we get, do we? You're Christians, you're a believer, you've now been promised eternal life, you've been promised heaven and all of that stuff. We don't actually deserve that. We deserve something different. But we don't get what we deserve, we get what God gives us, and that's grace. So we stand in love, and we stand in grace. We also stand in forgiveness, and we stand in restoration, and we stand in authority over the devil. I could keep you here all night, telling you story after story, where I have been in the presence of evil spirits and spiritual forces, and I've seen the name of Jesus every single time win a victory. I've seen lives transformed, people set free. I've seen physical manifestations that made my hair stand on end, and I wasn't sure I could believe them 2 days later, but they were true. And every time I've seen that you and I as Christians, we do have authority over the devil. Bible says Jesus gave his disciples, called his disciples, and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. And in the same chapter, he says, I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. So as we go into this new term that Simon's going to talk to us about and infuse us and give us focus and direction next Sunday, by way of a foundation for that, we need to be aware that we can do things as a church, as groups, and as individuals. We can pray for people that they come into a knowledge of Jesus. We can bring people to the Alpha course, or we can pray for people going on the Alpha course, or we can perhaps go on the Alpha course ourselves and begin to understand more about what the gospel is and what has happened. And we can pray for people to be healed, what's your name? Steve, isn't it? Yeah, it always happens to me when I'm speaking. Knowing very well, leads a house group I used to lead. Steve, be healed. Andy's knee, thigh, whatever it was. You know, every time that happens, that's a pushback for the devil and a big cheer for Jesus, isn't it? Every time that takes place. He's given you authority to overcome the power and the devil. So the devil is a liar, he's evil, he deceives us and he robs us. But in Jesus, those things can be overcome. Those things can be turned around. Those things can all be behind us. I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Let's pray. Father, as we move into a new term, a term of outreach, a term where we are going to be seeking to find ways of communicating the good news about Jesus to people who come to church and for us to go out into the community and do the same thing, to perhaps be on train stations or in the streets or in community activities or whatever, and in sermons and preaching here and in the Alpha course, which will be run here. All of these things we're quite open about it. We're wanting at the end of the day for people to come into a relationship with you, to have their sins forgiven, to be cleansed from their past and to be set free and to move into a relationship with you of joy and excitement. We realize that the enemy stands against us, that we stand against him tonight, not in our strength, not in the name of St. Paul's or the name of Reverend Simon Coupland, but we stand against him in the name of Jesus. And we declare that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King and Jesus has authority and Jesus has power and Jesus is the greatest. And so that puts the devil in perspective tonight. He may well be evil, he is. He may well be a liar, he may well be a deceiver, and he may well try to rob us. But Jesus is greater and stronger. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your victory on the cross, your victory demonstrated by the resurrection from the dead, that death could not hold its prey. You tore the bars away. Jesus, my Saviour. So thank you for that, and thank you for releasing us, those of us who know you tonight, releasing us from the power of darkness and from the influence of Satan. And keep us walking. Lord, we are in no danger tonight. The only danger is if we give him foothold in our life. And so we agree tonight not to do that. We agree to become Teflon tonight so that nothing can land on us and stick. That you'll just slide off if he seeks to attack us. We declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Amen.